On the surface, there seems to be a singular focus in this morning's lesson from the beginning of John. John is here to convince everyone to believe in the light. Jesus is, in fact, the light. Today's Advent candle is a candle of joy. So life is all about joy and hope and light. But we know that isn't the case. We know that just as much as joy and light exist, so do sadness and fear and darkness. For every story of good happening in our world, there seem to be three or four or more that reflect the dark side of things. So is John just delusional? In being a voice in the wilderness crying out in the name of the light? It all depends on how we choose to look at things. If we focus only on the darkness or only on the light, we see only despair or only hope. And even within those two views, they are muted in how powerful they are. Because if there were no light, how do we know how dark things might be? And more importantly, if there were no darkness, how would we recognize the light for the hope that it is? We need one to know what the other represents. This weekend, the movie Star Wars: The Last Jedi opened in theaters. And through now, 8 movie releases in the core series, there have been many complex storylines woven into the narrative. Where strength comes from, the Force, of course. How power can come from the most unexpected of places. How relationships between complete opposites can evolve. But no matter how many layers they add to the story, there is still one main theme that flows throughout. Dark versus light. Forces of evil against forces of good. Even today, we still place our hope in light winning out over darkness. If Star Wars had no Darth Vader, no stormtroopers, no Kylo Ren, there is no story. How would we know we wanted our hope placed in a Princess Leia or Luke Skywalker, Rey or Finn? Dark has to exist for light to make any sense. So we sort light from darkness. But it isn't always that easy. In the movies, characters that seem good in the beginning can turn out to be dark. And those we thought for sure were villains end up being the ones to save the day. We're only human, after all. And once again, as we looked at last week, we are looking today through the lens of knowing the end of the movie before it even starts. People in John's time didn't have that luxury. Here they saw this really strange dude come out of the forest, rant about repentance and making a straight path and baptizing people in the Jordan, despite not showing any credentials that the Pharisees and others were looking for. So you can forgive those around John for not knowing how they would fit into the mix. It makes sense that they would try to determine if he was the Messiah foretold by prophets or a prophet himself. And as he explained that he was neither, but just someone called to focus their attention on the light that was to come, the birth of Jesus, it didn't fit the story they had predicted in their own minds. John was none of the things that the others could identify with. John was a voice. The voice. John's role was not to judge, to heal, to cast away demons, or to tell of visions. John's role in the story was simple. To get everyone's attention, and to use that attention to get them to understand where the story was going and that it was different than what they had expected. But it isn't just that Jesus is coming. It is that the light is coming. John is being very clear about how we are to spot the light in the darkness. He's also clear that the message needs to stay clearly laser-focused on the light. That could not have been easy then, since John was starting a conversation focused on a minority viewpoint, just as it is hard to do today. We live today in a world dominated by voices shouting out about the darkness in our world. Just look at the top stories people are talking about this week. There's the Senate race in the state of Alabama, which has been turned into a referendum on the importance of ethics and decency competing with the importance of political power for votes for a specific cause. The wildfires in California continue to rage on, wiping out entire neighborhoods and leaving countless families with nothing but whatever they could grab in 5 minutes or less. The federal tax bill is being hailed by some, but others are choosing to use their voice to scream out about the thousands who could be worse off economically and the wealthy beneficiaries of the change. Even something as geeky as net neutrality has been fodder for dinner conversation with people focused on the darkness of large corporate communications providers and how they will be unleashed to deprive people of their much-beloved Netflix or Hulu. Shouts and screams in the streets about darkness and evil all around us. How could we even have a shot at hearing John's voice from the wilderness speaking of light and life? To do that, we need to follow the first word of our mission here in South Killingly. We need to seek the light. It's there. And when we spot it, we need to become voices like John, speaking of the light that is coming to overcome any darkness. How are we called to be voices like John? Consider the same Thessalonians 5 where our vision is rooted. Get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. Keep only what's good. God's good. This Advent season, as we continue to wait and watch for the coming of the light that will completely douse the darkness, let's not just keep good to ourselves, but let's be the good as well. Let's talk with those we know who are struggling right now to find the joy in the season. Let's offer that to bring them to this Thursday evening service of the Longest Night at Westfield for a word of hope. Let's be patient with people and invite them to come to our candlelight journey back to Bethlehem on Christmas Eve, guiding them to the light that will arrive on Christmas Day. Let's be cheerful no matter what, choosing to smile and focus on the blessings we have in our lives with our focus on the light rather than the darkness of what we think is missing. Let's look for those nuggets of good in each person and help them shine. Don't suppress the Spirit, folks. For it flows around and among us, not just here, not just now, but all our days and everywhere we go. Make the path straight. Share your witness to the light and the delight of your children. In the blessings of having a meal to eat or a roof over your head. In the ability, no matter how small, to give to others who have even less than you do. And in the freedom and ability to come here, to share our joy that Christ is coming, that the light is about to be born and to give us all a hope, peace, love, and joy that surpasses all understanding and that will never end. As 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 share, let me offer the same prayer. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Be fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ, who is to be born in a quiet and humble way, but remains our light in any darkness. Be the light. Share the light. Give voice to the light and live